Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:09 PM, that is Pacific Standard Time. Today is February 1st. Well, today was a big day for earnings on Wall Street. A lot of them have just come out in the last 5 minutes. So we're going to see a lot of action tomorrow. And we got a taste of that yesterday with Facebook, which in fact had rallied in here today, but was down in the aftermarket yesterday by about 4%, and there was absolutely no sign of that in terms of the price action today. Well, this is, I think, one of the important facts is that when we get these earnings, then the big question that a lot of people are going to be asking is whether, to what extent the tax cuts are going to affect the bottom line. So that is something that certainly was factored into Boeing, for example, that a lot of its earnings beat was because of the impact that the tax cuts were going to have. So it popped on the upside, and today it wasn't quite able to hold on to its advance, but it has held that move above $350. But then when we look at, for example, Amazon today, well, Amazon pulled back by approximately 4%, and this is the largest downward dynamic that we have seen in at least 6 months. And that's something that I think has to be given due note to, considering that it is really quite overextended relative to the trend mean. And we know that with Amazon, when it gets overextended relative to the trend mean, it is liable to pull back. So it's not at all beyond the bounds of possibility that we move into another one of these ranges. And this is something that I think has to be at least given due consideration, considering just how much the share has rallied in really quite a short period of time. When we look at Google, for example, well, then Google has had this staircase step sequence of ranges, one above another, for at least the last 6 years. And it has paused at big round numbers like 800, 1,000, it's now at 1,200. So if it's going to remain consistent, then this is about where it should be pulling back. And any ensuing range should be in the order of between $100 and about $140. As long as that remains the case, and then it goes sideways for a while and then breaks upwards, well, then we'll still be in a consistent trend. If we get a breakdown in that sequence of events, then we'll know that the imbalance between supply and demand that has helped to drive this market will then have changed, and therefore we would need to question exactly what's going on. But so far, so good. Now, the earnings have just come out, and they were, well, let's just make sure, because this is a very flowing environment. So the shares are down in aftermarket trading, but the question is exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. And when we look at, for example, some of these broad stock market indices, we've had a pause. The market has gone nowhere for 3 days. And the VIX index, having got up to a peak at over 15 3 days ago, is closing out today at around 13 1/3. And the big question is it going to regroup and then push on to new highs? If it pushes on to new highs, then the chances are that we are in a more corrective phase for stock markets than we've seen in at least the last 6 months. And we can't rule out that possibility. The market has become really quite overbought, so it's not at all beyond the bounds of possibility that we do get some pause and consolidation. And that brings me to the 30-year Treasury. It closed above 3% today for the first time since at least March of last year, and April of last year. Now, when we look at this chart, it had this progression of lower rally highs. It wasn't quite able to hold the move in November, but it has this time. And this suggests that we're back in a period of supply dominance for long bonds. And it could quite reasonably push up towards that 3.25% area, which has been an area of support for the bond market on a number of occasions since 2015. If bond yields were to fall through that, well, then we have to start thinking about base formation completion. That's certainly a potential outcome in this environment. And not least because the US government is about to embark on a really quite impressive round of deficit spending. And it's the very epitome of pro-cyclical spending. So therefore, the reality is that the bond market is likely to take fright. And it's been a long time since anybody talked about bond vigilantes, but there is the realistic possibility that they may start coming out in force, because they will be starting to run the numbers and thinking about what the deficits are likely to be. And then when you look at the 10-year Treasury, it's at 2.77%. It was up 7 basis points in here today. This is really quite a clear breakout, and it is rallying towards this psychological 3% level, which was at the low for bond prices, the peak in yields back during the taper tantrum in 2013. But interest rates are quite a bit higher today than they were then. The Fed is looking at raising interest rates again 3 times this year. So there is the possibility here that the 2.5% area could now be an area of support, with a view to the yield breaking above 3% at some point. And that is going to upset a number of strategies, and not least the risk parity strategy, because what that would have been doing was very carefully balancing off volatility risk in equities with bonds. But the bond markets are falling and equity markets are under pressure, so there isn't a great deal of evidence right now that we're getting a flow from one into the other, but rather that if both are starting to come under pressure, that we're starting to see some leverage come out of the market. And the fact that the dollar is so weak will not have escaped the minds of investors. The dollar index is back to a new closing low, and the euro is closing above 125, and that's a new closing high. And when we look at that on a weekly basis, well, it's a really quite a consistent advance that we have a clearly defined base formation, a first step above the base, and then a break up out of that range in the first week of this year, and it continues to advance. That it now, having cleared the 120 area, which had been an area of support back in 2010 and 2012, and subsequently an area of resistance, then the potential here is that the dollar is going to continue to push lower, and that the euro could get up and touch that 130 area. And it is also falling against the pound, and the pound is up to almost 143, and it has now completely unwound the decline that it saw after the Brexit vote. But that strength in the pound is having some knock-on consequences for the FTSE 100, and it has been down reasonably strongly now in the last 3 consecutive sessions. It has rapidly unwound its overextension relative to the trend mean, and this is going to be where we get some big questions asked. Exactly what can we expect from the stock market at this stage? It really would be ideal if it can hold the region of 7,000, because that is the upper side of this very long-term base formation. And I think that the potential here is that it can, but we are going to have to see some clear upper dynamics to confirm that that is indeed the case. Then, of course, you had Alan Greenspan talking on CNBC, is talking about two bubbles that are present. Well, I don't think that we have a bubble in stocks, but I think we are on the record, and have been on the record for quite some time, that there is a bubble in bonds, and that there is the realistic possibility that we are entering a new inflationary cycle. And with the dollar weaker, it is interesting that the commodities have been stronger, and gold was up $5 today, and it is actually closing back at that $1,350 area. It has been ranging around this 1,350 area for the last week, but it's encountered resistance here on this will be the third occasion, if it can't break through it, in the last 18 months. Gold is has got a history of ranging for about 18 months and then breaking upwards and doing so in a dynamic manner. The last time it did that was way back in 2009. It had been ranging for in a very volatile manner, and not least having pulled back sharply in 2008. But regrouped and then was able to clear the $1,000 level, and very soon afterwards was at 1200. And that was certainly not the only time that we had an 18-month consolidation in the gold price, because we had one that was completed in 2007 as well. So I think people will be looking at that. They'll be looking at gold and thinking, well, is it going to break on the upside? Because if it does, then part of the reason that people were interested in gold back during the commodity bull market was that when it did break out, it really went on a tear. And that was, I think, an important characteristic of the market, that there are certain markets that people buy because they accelerate. That's, I think, a large part of the reason that people were buying Amazon, because when Amazon breaks up out of its ranges, then it does tend to do extraordinarily well. So there is the possibility that if gold can break upwards, and I think that that is at this stage is potentially a 50-50 bet, then it is going to rally in a dynamic manner. And I think, well, that's why I continue to hold platinum and I continue to hold silver. Platinum is continuing to hold this move around the $1,000 area. $1,000 has been an area of resistance on three separate occasions in the last year, and if it can sustain the move above 1,000, well, it is quite low. It's low on an absolute basis, but it's low on a relative basis. It's not that often that you see platinum trading at such a discount to gold, and trading at such an attractive level relative to platinum as well. And platinum also found support in here today, and is now has come back towards that $1,000 area. It's pretty much coming back to trend relative to all of that impressive advance that we saw from earlier last year. So that also suggests that this is an asset that is starting to attract attention once more. And oil prices, despite the fact that we have had a slew of news reports about the oil market in just the last couple of days, this is a very tight consolidation around $70. By and large, over the last 6 or 7 months, we've had ranges that have lasted anything from a month to 2 months and have been had an amplitude of around $4.50 to $5. Well, this range has so far been only about $2.50, and it is now pushing back up towards this $70 area. Considering that this is a smaller reaction and it's been in evidence now for 3 weeks, it is still the most likely scenario that it is going to break on the upside and continue to push higher. And when we look at some of the other industrial resources, they were also in positive territory today. The nickel price was continuing to push up and out of this range, and it's looking increasingly likely that it has completed its base formation. Then when we look at the copper price, it has firmed. Now, it certainly in the last few days there's been quite a bit of volatility, but it is firming from this $3.20 area, and it continues to represent a reasonably consistent medium-term advance. And when we look at, for example, the FTSE 350 mining index, it was in mildly negative territory today, and it is consolidating in the region of this psychological 20,000 level. But if the industrial resources continue to do better, then that's going to represent a tailwind for resources generally. The fact that the dollar is weak is also a tailwind for commodity producers. And the Australian market today was in positive territory and has demonstrated support in the region of this 6,000 area. And having completed the breakout, this was a key area to demonstrate that it is back in a demand-dominated environment. And then if you look at the Australian dollar, it has paused around this 80 cent level. I think the most important thing about this entire chart is that it has held this progression of high reaction lows within the range for 2 years. And what that suggests is that there is potential for additional upside here, despite the fact that the RBA probably isn't particularly thrilled at that prospect. And then when we look at, for example, the South African rand, which has been strengthening pretty impressively for the last couple of months. It is now trading below 12 rand to the dollar. Now, it is oversold in the short term, but both the weakness of the dollar and the prospect of Zuma being ousted in South Africa are contributing to the continued strength of the rand, and I think that is reinvigorating interest in the stock market. And the All Share Index has broken up out of what was, in nominal terms, a 3-year range. It was down reasonably heavily in here today, but that is against a background where the rand has strengthened really quite spectacularly. So, as long as it is holding the region of the trend mean, then there is potential for additional upside here. Then, when we look at, for example, the Johannesburg Platinum Index, it has been moribund for the last few years. It barely participated in the rebound that we saw in the commodity sector generally back in 2016, and it is still looking very depressed. And part of the reason for that is because it has been weighed on by the low price of platinum, and also the rising cost of production. So there is the potential here that we could have, if precious metals start to break upwards, well, people are going to start looking for leveraged plays, and they will start perhaps looking at some of the most oversold conditions. The SPDR Gold Shares Index has got a pretty similar pattern to the gold price, so it is unlikely to be the one that bargain hunters specifically go for. So then, when we look at Japan, at the I continue to think that Japan is going to be the market that we see the first evidence of inflation returning. And Kuroda has already said that they anticipate the 2% inflation rate being met this year. The index was in positive territory in here today, but with the weakness into the close of Wall Street, then I think it is questionable whether it is going to be able to improve upon that performance in here today, or at least, well, later on today, my time. Then the Hang Seng has well bounced yesterday, didn't quite hold on to all of that bounce in here today. It raced from 28 to 33,000. It is due some consolidation, and I suspect that that is what we're going to get, considering that it had very impressively broken right above the peak that we saw back in 2007. I think then the potential here is that we are due some consolidation, but as long as it holds the region of 30,000, then I think that this is all that we're probably likely to get, is some consolidation, and that the most likely scenario is that that breakout, if it can hold in this region, is an important development, that the Chinese market is back on the front foot once more, and not least because we're back in a period of synchronized global economic expansion. And that does still remain the case. And I think the most important point is that we have a short-term overbought condition, and that the potential here is that it is going to get unwound. But that is probably all that we can anticipate in the short term, and not least because these bond yields are pushing higher, but they are also coming back into important areas of potential support. And it is not yet demonstrated that they are incapable of finding support in those areas. And when we look at the total return index for the 10-year treasury, it does have type 3 top formation characteristics, but this top has not yet been completed, and there is a short-term oversold condition, and it is coming back down towards the lows seen in 2017. So we are coming into an area where we can get some pause and consolidation. And if we do in fact get that, well, then that will open up the potential for I think some support to come back into the stock market. But then, if we take I think a medium-term consideration, that when we think about where are we in terms of the cycle, that there is still plenty of evidence that we're still in a secular bull market, but we are in the latter stages of a medium-term cyclical bull market. And we continue to see that the resources sector is back on a recovery trajectory, that cyclical sectors generally, whether they are luxury goods, banks, biotechnology, or commodities, are all back on a recovery trajectory, and they are outperforming even in a time when the leaders in this cycle, which are the large cap technology shares, have been pulling back. So I think that there is the potential here that resources are going to outperform by a considerable margin over the balance of this year, not least as we get some rotation following what have been really quite impressive accelerated moves into I think a large number of these very big cap companies. And certainly we'll continue to monitor the charts and just how the market takes the earnings announcements that we've had in the last half hour tomorrow will be rather instructive. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.